محمد الهادي البشير قد جاءنا حق النذير.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Today's character trait is overlooking the faults of others or pretending not to notice. In Arabic, this is called at-taghaful, or it's called at-taghabi. Taghaful is to feign that you haven't noticed something. And taghabi literally means to feign being unintelligent. So you're not somebody who is intelligently, quote unquote, intelligently seeking out the faults of other people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was somebody who noticed the good in people, and he overlooked the faults of other people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to his companions, he said, لا يبلغني أحد من أصحابي عن أحد شيئا فإني أحب أن أخرج إليكم وأنا سليم الصدر. He said that let none of you come and tell me something bad about any of my companions. So if one of my companions has done something, then he says, don't tell me about it, because I like to come out and have a pure heart for everybody. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't somebody who people would go to and tell him all the bad things that the other companions had done, so he could ferret out their faults and expose them and criticize them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he pretended not to notice. Sayyidina Anas, famous hadith that has come up in so many different beautiful traits of character. Sayyidina Anas, the little boy who served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that he said that khadamtu rasulullahi khadamtu nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 10 sinin fama qala li uffin qat. He never said to me, why did you do that? He never got irritated at me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never got irritated at me. He says, and he never said to me regarding something I didn't do, why didn't you do it? And he never said about something that I did do, why did you do that? So as a child, he would have made many mistakes. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he pretended not to notice. He overlooked his faults. Perhaps there's two particular incidents from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that bring out this character trait very vividly. The first is Ghazwat Uhud, in the Battle of Uhud. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the archers to guard the backs of the Muslims. And he told them that if you see us, if you see birds pecking at our flesh, or if you see us, that we're collecting booty, the war is done, the war is over, don't leave your places. And the archers, they disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in the Quran, he says there's a number of verses where he talks about it. He says, first of all, he says, وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ ثُمَّ صَرَفَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ لِيَبْتَلِيَكُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So the archers, and there's another verse where he mentioned something similar, I'll mention that. The archers, they abandoned their posts. And because the Muslims were initially, they were winning the battle. And when the Muslims, they won the battle, they were gathering and the enemy fled. The archers who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had placed, they left their posts and they came to collect the spoils of war, except their leader and a small number of people with him. And he told them not to go. And then Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid came and attacked them from behind. And there were many, many companions who died. There's many beloved companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who died, and it was in this battle that Sayyiduna Hamza, his beloved uncle, died. Any other person would have gotten angry. They would have criticized them. They would have said, this is something that I'll never forget. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, quote unquote, overlooks our faults. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said about them, he said, minkum man yuridu dunya wa minkum man yuridu al-akhirah. One of the companions said, I never knew that any of the companions wanted the dunya until I heard this verse. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَلَقَدْ عَفَىٰ عَنْكُمْ, which means that there's an oath. He says, surely he has forgiven you. But the word afu here means he has overlooked your faults. وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has generosity, and he is generous with the believers. In another verse, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, talking again about the battle of Uhud, he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ إِنَّمَا اسْتَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا. Verily, those who turned away on the day of battle of Uhud, Shaytan made them slip. بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا, because of something that they had done. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ حَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has surely overlooked their faults. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor, he forgives, and he is haleem. Haleem has the meaning, hilm, forbearance, has the meaning of overlooking faults. And so even after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't go to the companions. He didn't criticize the companions. This is something that happened. It's something that happened. It was something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed. They placed it behind them and they moved on. Later on, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Fath Makkah, when he was there was a surprise attack that he was going to launch, and he gathered an army, and nobody was supposed to tell anyone, so that they would catch the Meccans by surprise. And one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name is Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a, he wrote a letter to the mushrikun. And he sent a letter warning the mushrikun that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was gathering an army to attack them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed that he did this, and through revelation, and he sent Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he sent a number of other companions to intercept the letter. They intercepted the letter and they brought the letter back. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to, and so they brought the letter, and then Sayyidina Umar, he came to learn of this, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, قَدْ خَانَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He said that Hatib has betrayed Allah, and he's betrayed his messenger, and he's betrayed the believers. This was a serious thing. He sent a letter to the enemy, informing them of the Prophet's plans sallallahu alayhi wasallam to attack. This was endangering the lives. This looks like an act of treachery. It looks like an act of betrayal. And so Sayyidina Umar, he said, فَدَعْنِي فَلْأَضْرِبْ عُنُقَهُ. He said, let me smite his neck. Let me chop off his head. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, مَا حَمَلَكَ عَلَى مَا صَنَعْتَ. He said to Sayyidina Hatib, he said, why did you do what you did? And Hatib said, وَاللَّهِ مَا بِي أَلَّا أَكُونَ مُؤْمِنًا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَرَدْتُ أَنْ يَكُونَ لِي عِنْدَ الْقَوْمِ يَدٌ يَدْفَعُ اللَّهُ بِهَا عَنْ أَهْلِي وَمَالِي وَلَيْسَ أَحَدٌ مِنْ أَصْحَابِكَ إِلَّا لَهُ هُنَاكَ مِنْ عَشِيرَتِهِ مَنْ يَدْفَعُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَنْ أَهْلِهِ وَمَالِهِ. He said, I'm a weak person. I don't have any influence there. So when we go and we attack the Meccans, then my family will be threatened. The Meccans might take them. They might imprison them. They might torture them. They might kill them. The other people who are fighting, like Sayyidina Umar, like others, they have connections. So when they come to attack, then nobody is going to dare touch their family. So I believe in Allah. I believe in my in the Messenger, but I did this to protect my family. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said sadaqa. He said he has told the truth, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sayyiduna Khatib, he made a mistake. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam qabila i'tizarahu. He accepted his excuse. And he said about him, he says, لا تقولوا له إلا خيرا. He says, don't say to him anything except that which is good. And Sayyidina Umar insisted. فقال عمر إنه قد خان الله ورسوله والمؤمنين فدعني فالأضرب عنقه. Sayyidina Umar said, he has betrayed Allah and he's betrayed his messenger and he has betrayed the believers. Let me chop off his neck. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he said, أليس من أهل بدرين. He said, is he not one of the companions who fought at the Battle of Badr? And he fought at the Battle of Badr in certain defeat. He, as though he was marching to his death. أَلَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ. When Islam was weak, he said, فَقَالَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اطَّلَعَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَقَدْ وَجَبَتْ لَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. He says, it may be, and this means it is the case, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has looked at the people of Badr and he said to them, do what you will, because paradise is obligatory for you. Paradise is incumbent for you. Paradise is necessary for you. أو فقد غفرت لكم, or he said, I've forgiven you. And Sayyidina Umar, he shed tears and he said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. So this is, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he behaved in this way with somebody who had endangered the lives of the believers, endangered a battle, and others who had actually done things that led to people dying, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlooked them, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam overlooked their faults, then how should it be with the daily things? When he said to Sayyidina Anas, when he overlooked his faults, and when he, it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would overlook people's faults. He wouldn't notice other people's faults. And there was a story. قرأت سيدي أن كنت أحضر عن قصة حاتم الأصم. فيعني رأيته يعني معبرا عن المعنى. So there's one of the great awliya. His name is Hatim al-Asam, which means Hatim, the one who is deaf. And he was called deaf because he characterized this character trait. There was a woman and she came to talk to him and she said something that she let out some kind of a noise. Not sure what it is, but she let out some kind of an embarrassing noise. And so he said, and she became embarrassed, her face turned red, and he noticed it. And then he turned his ear and he said, what did you say? What did you say? Can you raise your voice? And he pretended to be deaf so that she wouldn't get embarrassed. And because of this, he came to be known as Hatim the Deaf. And so it's this character trait that was characteristic of him. So that was...
سبحان الله. قصة سيدنا حاتم الأصم يعني واضحة جدا في التغافل والتجاهل والتغابي رضي الله عنه, وسمي بهذا الاسم لهذه الحادثة.
سيدنا حاتم, he was given this name because of this event, so it's as though it was something that characterized him.
وكان صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم إذا رأى شيئا يقول ما بال أقوام, يعني لا يواجهه بما يكره, يقول ما بال أقوام يفعلون كذا 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 من غير أن يعني يوجه لهم
شخصي. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he noticed something that was wrong, he would make a general statement. He would say, why is it that people, some people, they do this? And he wouldn't direct it at particularly at someone.
لا شك أن التغافل يعني من مكارم الأخلاق وهو أبلغ من الاعتذار من قبول الاعتذار أبلغ بكثير.
That pretending not to notice other people's faults is from the great character traits, and it's superior, or it's more it's a higher thing than accepting someone's apology. Someone can come and do something wrong and they apologize to you, you notice the fault, but to pretend not to notice it at all, they don't even need to apologize.
بالإضافة لقصة سيدنا حاتم أريد أن أذكر شيء من واقعنا مع سيدنا الهاشمي رضي الله عنه. كان في مجلس خاص عنده درس, فالشيخ يقرأ, يمسك الكتاب هكذا ويقرأ, والإخوان يمسكون كتبهم ويقرؤون. فأحد الطلبة الموجودين سأل الهاشمي سؤالا فأجابه أحد الطلبة, فقال له أنا أسأل الشيخ, ما سألتك, أسأل الشيخ. فقال أنا شيخ ونصف. فالشيخ الهاشمي رفع الكتاب متشاغلا حتى لا يكون يعني يحرجهم في سماعه لهذا السجال بينهم.
He said that once Sheikh al-Hashim was giving a lesson, and so this is from recent times, and somebody asked him a question, and everybody was holding their book and they were following along, and one of the other students answered the question. And so the person who asked the question, he said, I didn't ask you, I asked the sheikh. And the student, he said in front of everybody, he said, I am a sheikh and a half. In other words, I'm more than a sheikh. And so everybody is going to get upset. And so Sheikh al-Hashimi, he raised his book to his face and he pretended to be busy reading the book, and he pretended not to notice so that nobody would get upset.
هذه لا يستطيعها إلا من كان عنده شدة حضور مع الله سبحانه وتعالى. لا يستطيعها أحد يعني إلا إذا كان عنده شدة حضور مع الله سبحانه وتعالى. فممكن أن يعني أما عامة الناس وحتى خاصة الناس لا تستطيعها.
This is something that only somebody who has a strong presence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do. Somebody who's not like that is not able to do that. Their selfish interests will prevail over them.
مع سيدنا شيخ عبد الرحمن رحمة الله عليه رجل اتهمه بأشياء ليست في الشيخ لغاية عنده يعني, ونعرف يعني الأمر الذي دفعه لهذا الافتراء على الشيخ. يعني اجتمعوا بوجود الشيخ عبد الرحمن والشيخ مصطفى والرجل يعني هذا صاحب المقالة ومديره لصاحب المقالة. فعندما أحرجه سيدنا الشيخ مصطفى وقال له يجب أن تعتذر من الشيخ لما صدر منك, لأنه صدر منك علنا أمام يعني بعض الطلاب, فيجب أن تبرئ ذمتك كذلك علنا. فقال الشيخ عبد الرحمن له, قال لا سيدي مصطفى, هو لم يقل ذلك, هو نقل عن غيره فنفى عنه التهمة تماما. ونحن كلنا يعرف والشيخ يعرف أنه هو صاحب التهمة, لكن قال له سيدي لا لا لا, لا ليس هو يعني نقلا عن غيره, لا ما في حاجة للاعتذار أبدا.
Said that once Sheikh Abdul Rahman, the teacher of Sayyid Ibn Munir, he was falsely accused of something, and it turned into a big controversy, and many people got involved, including Sheikh Mustafa Turkmani got involved, and they gathered in an office with all of the parties involved, and it was demonstrated that this person was falsely ascribing false statements to Sheikh Abdul Rahman. And Sheikh Munir is not, he knows details, he knows what happened, why, but he's not, he's concealing the identity of the person. And so he said that the point is that when Sheikh Mustafa, he said that now you have to publicly apologize because you've spread this publicly, you've spread this false slander about Sheikh Abdul Rahman to students of knowledge, and so publicly you have to retract it and publicly you have to apologize. And Sheikh Abdul Rahman was there, and he said to Sheikh Mustafa, he says no, Sidi Mustafa, he was just relating it from someone else, he wasn't the one who said it. And so Sidi Munir commented that he completely removed the need for that person to apologize for anything. He said he was just, somebody else said it.
ذكر لي عن تاجر بائع حلويات في الشام أنه جاءه أحد من يريد أن يشتري الحلوى، فعندما دخل إلى المحل مد يده إلى جيبه فبحث عن الفلوس التي في جيبه، فكأنه لم يجد الفلوس، فظن أنه قد يعني وقعت منه في الطريق أو كذا، فأراد أن يخرج. قال له التاجر، قال له ما بك؟ قال والله كان في معي 100 ليرة، وكنت يعني قد نجحت في الثانوية أظن أو كذا، وأحببت أن أخذ حلوى لأهلي، لكن كأني فقدتها. قال لا بأس عليك، أنا أعطيك ما تريد من الحلويات، وعندما تأتي إلينا مرة ثانية تدفع المبلغ المترتب عليك. قال أنا بيتي بعيد، يعني بعيد عن دمشق ساعة ونصف، يعني أخاف أن. قال لا لا لا، ما في حرج، يعني ما في حرج. فأعطاه من الحلوى، وبعد أن غادر المحل أرسل وراءه أحد موظفيه، قال له نحن وجدنا 100 ليرة في الأرض، واقتطعنا منها ثمن الحلويات، وأرجع له الباقي من 100 ليرة. هذا وصل إلى بلدته، فعندما مستغربا ما هذا الذي حصل وكذا، لكن يفتش ملابسه فوجد 100 ليرة في بنطال كان يرتديه قبل ذهابه إلى دمشق. شو هالأخلاق؟
Said there was somebody who he knows who a sweet shop seller, not sweet shop, but a sweet seller, and he sells sweet. He had a sweet shop, and so once he was selling sweets, and somebody came, and he came into the shop, and then he put his hand in his pocket, and he couldn't find what he was looking for, so he turned around to go back. And so the shopkeeper said, "Why are you going back?" He said, "I passed my high school exams, and so I wanted to buy sweets to celebrate with my family. But I had 100 liras in my pocket, and it seems like I lost them. They fell somewhere. I don't have them." And so the shopkeeper, he said, "That's okay. You can just take the sweets, and when you find the 100 liras, you can pay me back." And he said that my house is far from Damascus. It's 1.5 hours. I don't know if I'll be able to come back or when I'll be able to come back. He said, it's not a problem. Just take the sweets. And so he gave him the sweets and then he left. And then after he left, he sent someone with money to him. And he sent him with money and he caught up with him. And he said that we found 100 liras on the floor. Could have been anyone, right? So he probably dropped it himself and picked it up and said, that we found 100 dirhams on the floor. Said we deducted the cost of the sweets, and here's your change. And he sent him back. And so he went back and he said, how did this happen? And what has happened? And when he went home, he found, he searched his clothes and he found the 100 liras in another pair of pants that he had. And so Sayyidina Ali said, what beautiful akhlaq, what a beautiful
يعني ممكن ممكن بذلك الوقت المحل لا يربح أكثر من 100 ليرة في اليوم كله، فهو أعطاه الحلويات وأرجع له الفلوس وقال له أنت سقطت منك 100 ليرة في محلنا. لكن عندما أدرك هذا الشاب أن وجد 100 ليرة رجع إليه بعد فترة وشكره. لكن شو هذا الفعل؟ يعني ما قيمته عند الله؟
He said that the shopkeeper probably in those times didn't make even a profit of 100 liras a day. And this is what he did. He said later on that young man, he went and he gave back the money and he thanked him for what he had done. But he said, what amazing character. What an amazing character trait. There's a question. How would you balance, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam, how would you balance between overlooking and trying to correct someone like a sibling or a friend because you want them to become a better person? What is the mindset we should have when trying to correct someone when they do something wrong? And also, what if some people listen better when you are stricter or meaner in the way you correct? Yujad su'alan. As-su'al al-awwal. يقول أول يقول السلام عليكم ثم يقول كيف التوازن أو بين التغافل وبين تصحيح شخص كأخ أو أخت أو صديق وقصدك أن يكونوا يعني قصدك الخير لهم أن يصبحوا إنسانا أفضل. فإذا فكيف التوازن وما هو كيف ينبغي أن نفكر عندما نفعل هذا أو عندما يخطئون؟ وأيضا ماذا يعني إذا كان بعض الأشخاص يستجيبون عندما أكون يعني عندما نضغط عليهم أو نرفع أصواتنا يستجيبون، لكن عندما لا نخاطبهم هكذا لا يستجيبون، فماذا يعني كيف ماذا ينبغي؟
ربما تكون أنت الذي أوصلته إلى هذه النتيجة أنه لا يمكن أن يستجيب إلا بالصراخ ورفع الصوت والتهديد وكذا وكذا وكذا. أما لو تعاملنا معه ابتداء بالتعريض بأنه وقع هذا الأمر منه، نأتي إلى هذا الأمر من خلف حجاب ونقول لو أحد فعل كذا وفعل كذا يكون كذا أفضل من كذا، يعني لا يأتي إليه مباشرة، فبهذا تعلمه أن يتعظ من غير مباشرة. أما عندما واجهناه بالأمر من أول مرة، واجهناه بالأمر ومرة ثانية واجهناه بالأمر مباشرة، فهذا أصبح عنده يعني هذه يعني هذا التصلب بالشعور، أصبح لا يمكن أن يفهم علينا إلا إذا استعملنا هذا الأسلوب الجهري معه من الشدة وكذا. أما لو بدأنا به، وهذا ربما يكون ينفع للأولاد عندما يقع شيء، أن نتغافل ثم ننبه عنه بأنه ليس وقع منهم على أنه وقع مع غيرهم فيعتبرون.
So he started with the second part of the question. What if some people listen better when you are stricter or meaner in the way you correct? He said that that we might, and this is related to the next question, which says that how do we attain the balance, particularly in the context of raising children? So he says that when we habituate somebody to, when we speak to somebody in a mean way, or we raise our voice, and then they respond, then perhaps we are teaching them that they should only respond when we raise our voice and speak to them in a mean way. But if we had, if from the beginning we had been gentle and indirect, then they would have learned to take a lesson through indirection. So he gives an example, and he says that this is useful with children as well. So he says that if you see your child doing something wrong, then at another time, you tell them that if someone else were to do something, then one should do such and such a thing. And they take the hint, and they change. And if from the beginning we were to interact with people in this way, then they would respond to our indirection and gentle approach.
أحد من اجتمعنا بهم من إن كان من 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 كان يعتقد بهم الولاية والصلاح كنا نجلس عنده ثلاثة أربعة أشخاص ثم أحيانا يطرح سؤالا فيجيب أحدهم أو أحدنا يجيب بجواب بعيد عن الصواب بعد المشرق عن المغرب فيقول له أحسنت جوابا ما شاء الله ما شاء الله ثم يعطي الجواب الصحيح فيصحح لهذا من أخطأ بما ما قال له لا أخطأت ولا قال له غير صحيح ولم يقل من هذا شيء قال أحسنت جوابا ما شاء الله ما شاء الله ثم يأتي بالجواب فيتضح لمن أجاب خطأ يتضح له الصواب فيعتبر.
He said that there was somebody whose company he kept, who was considered to be somebody who was close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a teacher, so he would pose a question, and somebody would give a completely incorrect answer, 180 degrees, the opposite of the right answer. And he would look at him, and he would say, "Well done, well done, you have given a good answer." And then he would tell him the right answer, and so he would, and the person would accept the right answer from him.
ما منع الجواب الصحيح لكن أتى عليه بأسلوب يعني كيف نجمع بين السائل يقول كيف نجمع بين أن نصحح خطأ مثلا وأن نتغافل ونتجاهل ليس هذا المعنى أن لا يصحح الخطأ لكن أسلوب التصحيح هذا الذي يعني نحتاجه.
So he said that the first part of the question, how do you achieve a balance? He said that, note that this person, he gave the right answer. He told the person what he should be doing, but it was the way in which he said it. And so the balance comes in the way in which it's done. And the way in which it's done without, as though one has overlooked the fault, as though one hasn't noticed the fault, so that the person doesn't feel like they've made a mistake. Kaifa, assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. How would you balance between overlooking and not being someone who people take advantage of? يقول يعني كيف التوازن بين التغابي والغباوة يعني أن ألا أكون غبيا والناس يعني يأخذون مني يستفيدون على حسابي.
كن حذرا الله يرحم سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن يقول: إذا صعدت إلى الباص المركبة الكبيرة التي فيها تتسع إلى 50 راكب، يقول: ضع يدك في جيبك وقل: هؤلاء كلهم أولياء. هلا أنت من أجل أن لا تكون غبيا، يعني لا تترك الفلوس على يعني على غاربها، اضبط جيبك ثم تغافل عندما يكون. قالوا: ليس الغبي بسيد في قومه، لكن سيد قومه المتغابي، هو يعرف أنه، لكن يريد أن يعني لا يظهر يعني معرفته لمن حوله. ليس الغبي بسيد في قومه، ما بيصير يكون الغبي سيد في قومه، لكن المتغابي هو السيد الذي يغض النظر عن العثرات ويصحح الأخطاء بالتي هي أحسن.
He says that Sheikh Abdul Rahman used to say that when you ride in a bus, and he used to take public transport, Sheikh Abdul Rahman used to go around taking public transport, he would walk. So he would take public transport. And so he said, when you ride in a bus, then there's 50 other people, there's pickpockets. He says, put your hand in your pocket over your money so nobody steals it. And believe that everybody in the bus is a saint, is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says that the answer to the question, how do you balance between overlooking and not being someone who people take advantage of, means that you take precautions. You take precautions to ensure that you are not taken advantage of. And then after that, you overlook people's faults. He mentioned the line of poetry. It's a famous line of poetry that somebody who is foolish and stupid and taken advantage of will never become a leader. But a leader is somebody who knows that somebody, what people are doing, knows that they're trying to take advantage, knows what they're trying to do, and then in his knowledge and he takes precautions, then he pretends not to notice.
وعندما تصحح الخطأ يعلم أنك أنت لست بغبي، لكن صححت بأخلاق. يعني هو يقول: كيف التوازن بين كذا وكذا؟ عندما هو لم يترك الأمر يعني من غير تنبيه عليه، لكن من غير مواجهة له من وراء من طرف غير مباشر، فهذا يظهر للطرف الآخر أن فلانا ليس بغبي، لكن هذا من شدة ذكائه أنه تغاب عني وصحح لي الخطأ.
So he said that when you correct somebody's mistake, then they see that you're not somebody who can be taken advantage of. But because of your extremely high character, and you're doing it in a way that you don't step on other people's feelings, you don't hurt other people, you don't make them feel like they've been wronged, they understand that you're not somebody who should be taken advantage of, but you don't react in the way that other people do. And that it's knowledge.
في قصة سيدنا الحسن والحسين شيء بليغ في ذلك، عندما رأوا من يسيء وضوءه، لا يتقن الوضوء، فرآه الحسن والحسين في هذه الحالة، فقال: يا أخا العرب، يا اختلفت أنا وأخي في وضوئي، أنا أقول وضوئي صح وهو يقول وضوءه صح، ممكن أن تكون حكما بيننا؟ فتوضأ أمامه فقال: والله وضوءكم صحيح وأنا وضوئي غير صحيح. لم يقول له يعني: أنت وضوءك غير صحيح مثلا، لا، قال: اختلفت أنا وأخي على أينا وضوءه أصح، ممكن أن تكون حكما بيننا، يعني جعلوه أعلى منهم، لكن وصلت المعلومة. هل هذا ألا يظهر له أنهم ليسوا أغبياء، بل هم هذا شدة انتباه وشدة ذكاء وشدة، أليس كذلك؟
He said in the story of Sayyidina Hassan and Hussein, they saw a man older than them who was making wudu incorrectly. So they said, they went to that man and they said that we're disagreeing about the correct way to make wudu. Can you watch us and tell us, decide between us who's right? And so then they demonstrated, and the man understood from this that they were telling him that his wudu was mistaken. And so he said, your wudu is correct and my wudu is mistaken. So when they overlooked someone else's fault, they did it in full knowledge. And this indicates that they are intelligent and extremely perceptive. So when it's done in this way, it doesn't allow people to take advantage of one, but rather they see how perceptive and intelligent and diplomatic one is.
الله يرحم سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن، كان يوزع في درسه الشاي صباح الجمعة، فأحيانا يكون هناك رجل لم ينتبه أو طفل أو كذا، فتهرق كأس الشاي على السجاد، فيريد أن يؤنبه أحد أو كذا، يقول الشيخ لا 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 سيدي، هذا الشاي يثبت صباغ السجاد، يجعل الصباغ ثابتا، لا حرج، ما في حرج.
Sheikh Abdul Rahman, he would have lessons in his house, and he would give people tea to drink, and he would distribute the tea, and it would often happen that a child or somebody would spill tea onto the carpet. And somebody would get up to scold the child or to scold the person who had, didn't you pay attention, to something like that. And Sheikh Abdul Rahman would say, no, don't say that, because he says, no need. This tea, it strengthens the dyes in the carpet. It makes the carpet better. When you spill tea on carpets, it makes the dyes better. Question. How would one deal with actions of someone that accidentally keeps hurting you? In other words, they don't realize that they're hurting you. How would one communicate the issue with them to avoid conflict? سؤال يعني كيف يوجد شخص ومن غير قصد يتصرف بتصرف مؤذي يؤذيني ف ولا وهذا من غير قصد لا يتعمدون فكيف أوصل هذه المعلومة لهم حتى يعني من غير أن يكون هناك يعني اختلاف أو شيء؟
ممكن أن يسوق ذلك في قصة ليس في الوقت الحاضر الذي حصلت هذه المشكلة، يعني في هذا الوقت لا يتكلم بعد أن حصلت هذه الإساءة، لكن بعد يعني ينتهز فرصة ثم يذكر قصة عن الغير، كان في هناك أخوين أو صديقين أو كذا، وأحدهما فعل مع الآخر كذا وكذا وكذا، فيعني استحيا هذا الرجل من أن يقول لأخيه ما، فسألني ماذا كيف يفعل معه، فممكن أن يطرح السؤال على الأخ الذي حصلت منه هذه الإساءة.
نعم.
لكن ليس مباشرة فورا، يترك يوم، يترك ساعات، يترك كذا، يقول يعني سبحان الله جاءني يعني من سألني كذا وكذا وكذا، ف يعني فكرت بالجواب لعلي أستعين بك، فتصل الرسالة بأرق وألطف المسج.
He said that what you can do is that at the moment, don't say anything. When they say these things that hurt you, don't say anything. At another time, you can tell them a story. You can maybe say that there's so and so, he does this and this, and he doesn't intend it, and he hurts this person. And then maybe you can ask them for their advice. You can say, how do you think, what do you think this person should do? And in this gentle, indirect way, the message is communicated. How do you deal with people who deliberately thrust themselves in your affairs and your overlooking is not enough? You draw lines, but they keep pushing and play mind games and get their way only because you finally give up. The only thing then is to turn to face away and do your thing. It affects your immediate family, but without being blunt and aggressive, there is no way. One has to become irritated and brittle. محترمة يعني من يعني أحد الطلاب الآن تسأل يعني كيف يعني يوجد هناك أشخاص يعني عن قصد يدخلون أنفسهم في ظروفك في ظروف وعندما أتغافل لا يكفي لأنهم يدخلون أنفسهم ف يعني أعمل حدود لكن لكن يعني يعني يديمون ويدفعون ويريدون أن يدخلوا ويقولون أشياء يعني يعني يتلاعبون حتى يحصلوا على مرادهم لأنهم يتوقعون مني أني سوف في الأخير سوف يعني أستسلم فلا أرى أي طريق إلا أن يعني أتولى عنه أو نعم فنعم
يعني نحن نتدرج بالمعالجة تدريجا يعني هي كما وصفت الآن نأتي إلى ذكر هذه المسألة لهم من باب أننا نتكلم عن الغير فإن استجيب لنا بها ونعمات إن لم يستجاب لنا فنغير الأسلوب بأن نقول يعني هذا مما يعني يؤلم الأخ من أخيه أن يكون هذا كذا كذا لكن تدريجيا يعني خليه يبدأ بالأفضل ثم يرجع إلى المفضول فيصارحه ما في حرج لكن إيصال المعلومة على المذهب الأول أرقى بكثير وقد يعني يتنبه إلى هذا ويكون قد يعني علمته كيف يرجع عن خطئه بالأسلوب الراقي أما إذا استمر هذا ولم يعني هذا الأسلوب لم يكن ناجحا معه فلا حرج أن نصارحه بأن هذا الأمر يعني يؤلمنا ولا يعني نحب أن يعاد مرة ثانية حتى لا يؤثر على علاقتنا مع بعضنا يعني ترتفع المعالجة شيئا فشيئا
The question, how do you deal with people who deliberately thrust themselves in your affairs and your overlooking is not enough? You draw lines, but they keep pushing and play mind games and get their way only because you finally give up. The only thing then is to turn to face away and do your thing. It affects your immediate family. And so he says that you start in the beginning. So if you start in the beginning through indirection, and when that doesn't work, then you do the next stage, and do the next stage, and then you do the next stage. And ultimately, it may reach a stage where you just have to be explicit and say that you know, this is what you're doing, and you can't have, you know, you can't have a relationship, and this is the line, and this is how we'll define it. And so so you do what is needed, but you begin and you try with the highway, not the highway, but the way that is high, and you're gentle, and then you try to do it in the best way that you can.
ذكرنا قبل الآن كيف قال الهاشمي لسيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن: هل دعوت عبد الناصر ليتناول معنا الغداء؟
نعم
تذكر هذا؟
نعم نعم He said that he told
هذا
this...
الأسلوب، هذا الأسلوب الراقي جدا.
نعم He said that once Sheikh Abdul Rahman invited Sheikh Al Hashimi for food and he responded and he saw a photograph of Jamal Abdul Nasser on the window. And to hang photographs up for public display, according to many scholars, is something, even those who permit photographs, according to them, it's not permissible. And many of the scholars of Damascus, they held this position. Among them was Sheikh Al-Hashimi, among them was Sheikh Abdul Rahman. And so Sheikh Abdul Rahman's son had actually placed the picture there because he loved Jamal Abdul Nasser at that time, Arab socialism. So Sheikh Al-Hashimi saw it as Sheikh Abdul Rahman was serving breakfast, and he said to him, "Did you invite Abdul Nasser to have breakfast with us?" And he was confused, he didn't know, they laughed, they joked about it. But then it caught his attention, and then he took it down. So he said that this is a beautiful way, a beautiful way to achieve the goal. أخير سؤال أخير يقول يعني the question سيدي there has been a surge of COVID-19 in our community in Bolton, United Kingdom. Can you make dua for protection and cure? Please, can you recount the most memorable examples of the character of Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Shahuri rahimahullah jazakallahu khair fi dunya wal akhirah. يقول قد كان هناك حوادث كثيرة للوباء في المنطقة التي أعيش فيها فهل ممكن أن تدعو لنا للحفظ والشفاء وهل هناك مواقف من شيخ عبد الرحمن تذكرونها يعني يعني نأخذ منها درسا في هذا
أولا أن نأخذ بالأسباب التي ذكرها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالأذكار التي تمنع الضرر، كقول بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم، أن تذكر صباحا ومساء، وأن يصلى الفجر في جماعة، فمن صلى الفجر في جماعة فهو في ذمة الله.
And the first thing we do is we take the means to protect ourselves. From the du'as and supplications of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to say, for example, in the morning and evening, Bismillahi alladhi la yadurru ma asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama. Used to say that in the name of Allah, with whom I'll write this du'a, inshallah, I can, if I remember, inshallah, I'll write it at the in the comments in the section description section of this lesson, and also to pray the Fajr prayer in a group, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said whoever prays the Fajr prayer in a group, he is in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that day.
كذلك أعوذ بكلمات الله التامة من شر ما خلق وذرأ وبرأ. يعني نرى الأحاديث التي فيها تحصين للمسلم من الأمراض والأعراض.
So we search for the du'as in which there's protection from sickness and harm. Another du'a is أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق.
أما مع سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن فكان يعني الحوادث كثيرة، ذكرنا منها أن أخوه سيد محمد أخذ السكر من فم شيخه الشيخ حسني البغال وهو مريض مرض، يعني يقولون الأطباء أنه معدي، ولم عاش بعده 40 50 سنة. وكذلك الشيخ عبد الرحمن عندما أكل البطيخ مع صديقه الذي أصيب بنفس إصابة مرض يعني شيخه، فكان يضع نصف قطعة البطيخ في فم صديقه والنصف الثاني في فمه، ويقول فر من المجزوم فرارك من الأسد. كان الشيخ يتأوله بأنه فر من أن تعتقد أنه يعديك، فرارك من الأسد. غير ما نفهم نحن.
He said, Sheikh Abdul Rahman, his brother had a sheikh. So his brother, there was a sheikh called Sheikh Husni Baghal, and the brother of Sheikh Abdul Rahman took a candy that he was eating and ate it. Not Sheikh Abdul Rahman himself, but his brother. And he ate it, and and it didn't harm him. And so he had tuberculosis, I believe. And we saw how Sheikh Abdul Rahman, his friend, also got tuberculosis, and he visited him, and he shared the watermelon with him. And he used to, there's a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that flee from somebody who has leprosy, because leprosy was contagious, like you flee from a lion. And he used to interpret these hadiths to mean flee from believing that any of these things can harm you, as you would flee from a lion. So, so what these now? فنفهم من هذه أن نتوكل على الله سبحانه وتعالى.
أن نتحصن بالأذكار الواردة ونتوكل على الله. قال يعني فالبعير الأول من أجربه؟ قال لا يضع البعير مع البعير. طيب قال الأول من أجربه؟ فهذا واقع عندنا الآن. يعني هنا في عمان وزير الأوقاف منذ أن حصل هذا الكورونا وهو يعني يتخذ قرارات ويتخذ إجراءات وحيطة و حتى منعت الصلاة في المساجد. يعني الآن قال لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، أصبت بالكورونا والآن هو في بيته. يعني كل هذه الاحتياطات لم تفد في قدر الله شيء، فلا يغني حذر من قدر، لا يغني حذر من قدر.
So we take precautions, we recite the prayers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we take any other means, any other medical means, and then after that we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who causes disease and he gives cure. And so we learn from the example of Sheikh Abdul Rahman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who protects. He says here in Amman, where he is, the one who's in charge of religious affairs, they took this precaution, they took that precaution, and until they even said that nobody should pray in the mosque, and they took all of these precautions. And then just recently he said that he himself had been diagnosed with the coronavirus after taking all of the precautions. And so what we learn from that is that we take the precautions, but precautions don't protect us from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وخوفك من المرض مرض، وخوفك من الفقر فقر.
And you're fearing sickness is a sickness, and you're fearing poverty is poverty.
ثم سيدي لا أذكر نفسي وإياكم أن هذه الليلة ليلة مباركة بولادة سيد الممكن الوجبات سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أرجو أن يكون لنا في وقت السحر الذي هو وقت الولادة له صلى الله عليه وسلم، أن يكون لنا يعني وقفة في هذا الوقت بالصلاة والسلام عليه، و أن نعاهده صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نكون على سنته ما استطعنا لذلك من سبيل، فلا نفوت هذه الفرصة، وكل حسب توقيته، يعني يعرفون توقيت السحر عندنا في بلادنا كم هو الساعة، فربما يكون مغرب عند قوم، وعشاء عند قوم، وعصرا عند قوم، وظهرا عند قوم، فليراعوا هذا، وفي ذلك الوقت السحر يعني يكون لهم وقفة، يعني تأمل في ساعة الولادة سيد الوجودات سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So he says that he reminds us and himself that this is the night when the master of the universe, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was born, and he was born just before Fajr. So he encourages all of us to have a moment before Fajr, in the hours, in the minutes and hours before Fajr, the Fajr prayer before dawn, to send blessings and peace on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to affirm our commitments to following his sunnah in all aspects of our lives.
كان بعض الشيوخ عندنا في دمشق، وما ما رأيتها من غيره، يعني كان المولد عنده في هذه الليلة، يبدأ الساعة 2 في الليل وينتهي فجرا، فيكون المولد الشريف في وقت ولادته صلى الله عليه وسلم.
He said that there was one of the scholars of Damascus, he didn't see anybody else do this, that he would have a commemoration of the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this night. It would begin at 2 a.m. and it would end at Fajr, which was the time when he was born sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
نرجو من الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يأخذ بنواصينا لمتابعته قدما بقدم ونفسا بنفس.
Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us by our forelocks so that we follow him step by step and breath by breath.
وأن تكون هذه الليلة يعني فيها مراجعة لأحوالنا وتصحيح ما نجده فيها من مما يجب أن يصحح.
And we should reflect on our states in this night and correct what needs to be corrected.
الله يبارك فيكم ويحفظكم جميعا إن شاء الله. سبحانك اللهم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.
صلي وسلم ربي وأنعم على المعلم.